it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Were you more frustrated with the offense or the defense yesterday? You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I'm the aforementioned Reggie Atatula. He is the aforementioned John Lopez. That's Figgy Fig on the ones and twos. And you, getting involved in various different ways. I realized I didn't do this, so Fig, you ready? On the text line, 713-572-4610. But also, I got to give love to the Mokarem Injury Lawyers live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. This is the latest that I've ever gotten to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That is how much we were just like, we need to talk about what's happening.
We hit the ground running, man.
Good.
We hit the ground running.
Googly moogly, yeah. Man. This what a deeply frustrating game, sitting in that stadium watching it. Because there was a number of instances where you had opportunities, both on offense and defense, to do something, to make a play to get this game won. And so I'm interested, from your perspective, J-Lo, from yours, Figgy, from yours, dear listener, were you more frustrated by the offense or the defense? Because I don't know that there's particularly a wrong answer, and I know there's a lot of things that could back up any of those selections.
Yeah, I don't think there's a wrong answer. The answer really is yes. You were frustrated with both. More frustrated, I feel, has to be the defense, because there were so many questions about the offense that we needed to see. We needed to see the offensive line. We needed to see the running game. We needed to see these new receivers. We needed to see C.J. Stroud calling the shots. We needed to see Nick Caley, calling the shots as coordinator. Did we have any real questions? I know we can pick at the interior defensive line, and maybe that's about it.
Well, I don't need to pick at them because the Bucs did it.
Yeah.
And the thing about running the football for the Bucs is they didn't have any huge, chunk plays running the football. It was really just here's 4 yards here, here's 6 yards here, here's another three periodically, but oftentimes 4, 6, 7, just right up the middle, up the gut, forcing you. And it was just death by a thousand cuts. In fact, I'm pretty sure that the Bucs had one of the best, if not the best, success rates running the football, which is to say, at any given point, if they ran the football, they were doing what you were expected to do on a play. On a first down, they're picking up 4 yards and making it second and manageable and medium. On second down, they're getting within third and short, or maybe even just picking up the first down. And on third down, they're damn sure picking up the first down. Successful plays. And that is an indictment, because what it felt like? And I said this in the booth. I don't know if you were up there when I said it. It felt like the Buccaneers, particularly their offense, maybe their coordinator, was looking at your defense, particularly the guys in the interior defensive tackles, and saying, y'all are some bees.
Yeah.
Because we just going to hit you over and over and over again. Y'all not doing nothing.
But it wasn't just that. You're right, but it wasn't just that, because we've talked about the tackling. It was awful. They were running around, but they weren't tackling. But here's the other thing. You mentioned the run defense. The Bucs averaged 5.6 yards a carry and only had 2 carries over 10 yards.
That's right.
I mean, think about that. Here's the other thing with the defense. And especially, we're going to talk about that last drive, because they just gashed you. They imposed their will. They said, we're going to score. We're going to run. We're going to throw. You're not going to know what's coming. You're not going to be ready for what's coming. But overall in the game, against this defense, and as I said, there were a lot of questions about the offense. There really weren't very many, maybe just the one question on defense. And you gave up more than 37 minutes of clock time, of possession time.
They just die slow.
They damn near had the ball for 2/3 of the game. You gave up 25 first downs. Count them. 25 first. Well, you don't have to literally count.
Oh, all right. I'm just trying to, follow along.
So this defense gave up 25 first downs, was on the field for damn near 2/3 of the game, gave up 5.6 yards per rushing. There is no way you can say anything, but that was the most frustrating thing.
The most frustrating thing within that frustrating thing of the defense was there were a number of times where you damn near did the job and you just didn't finish. Mm-hmm. In that final drive alone, I know you said we'll talk about it. Damn it, I'm talking about it now. In that final drive alone, and let me pull up my notes so I can verify this for myself. I can think of at least 2, probably 3 instances where you need to get your ass off the field. And there was no real good reason why you did not.
Yeah.
Right? You have what is obvious, the most obvious of all of these, which is what? Fourth and 10, and you are, you know, you're able to pin your ears back with number 55 and 51, try and go get them.
Yeah.
And because of the general philosophy that seems like they had taken to, they've gotten so aggressive. You got guys bailing out in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your four down linemen that are rushing. And they all kind of knife in instead of keeping contained. Baker Mayfield is out on the loose, and he's able to get 16 yards damn near without anybody near him. It's like the Red Sea in the middle of NRG Stadium that he's running through. And it's like you had what should have been a super pressure down for Baker Mayfield, and it felt like a walk in the park because you didn't get off the field. There was a couple of – I mean, because that one was terrible. Yeah, an impossible scramble with terrible contain. It felt like they were just dumping the ball off a decent amount as well, that where they were able to just kind of get the ball in space and make it tough on you. I mean, there were a few times where you should have been able to get off the field.
In a million years, would you have ever guessed that the Texans defense would be bullied? Because they were flat out bullied. I mentioned the numbers, which is a good indication of that. You're talking about the final drive, which was just, they were just manhandled all the way down the field. And then the other thing is they were facing an offensive line that they should have just absolutely feasted on.
Correct.
They had three guys injured, one in the game. They shuffled their offensive line, and you couldn't get anything done against that offense. Here's the other thing, and DeMeco has talked about this, and this is —
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kind of sort of related to the defense, your special teams basically got two turnovers, basically. And they weren't, you know, actual turnovers, but you blocked a kick, okay? You get set up deep in Tampa territory. The offense spits the bit, and they run three plays for exactly no yards, and you kick a field goal. Well, that's bad. Then you get a 53-yard return, which is kind of like a turnover, you know, a big play, let's call it. To set yourself up. You do get the touchdown there, but the defense doesn't back it up. When you get that block kick, even if it's just a field goal, the defense has to, boom, you know, let's shut them down now. That's the opportunity you wanted. Then you get the big punt return from Jalen Noel. All right, we got our touchdown. Boom, let's shut them down. That, to me, was the worst part about the defense.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, all those things existed. It just feels like, I got to give Ocho a little love because he's been saying this is a bend, don't break defense. And it felt like there was a lot of bend in here. And that was the thing that was most frustrating on that side. However, we do get a text here that comes in. And I'll change this up a little bit, 832, and I think you'll understand why, because I want to make everybody mad right now. I feel like you guys were saying that the offense is the side that you don't like and the defense is the side that you do like. Insert blanks there, however you want to, with your Mad Libs. The side that you don't like just gets away with whatever. And the side that you do like takes all the blame. Like, and that does feel a little bit like this because the expectations
are — I'm not letting the offense off the hook.
The expectations are higher for the defense, but no, that was deeply frustrating for an offense that clearly did not carry up their end of the bargain, especially even as the defense tried to make their lives easier. You talked about that block punt, but it's going to be hard, real, real hard to scrub from my memory the four downs that you have within the 5-yard line and opportunities to score touchdowns where you just defecate on the field.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're running shotgun all three plays. You get absolutely mauled up front. And we're going to talk, obviously, we're going to talk about C.J. Stroud. You can't be that inaccurate on those two passes, man. I mean, he was bad inaccurate.
Yeah. It's funny because after the game, myself, Seth Payne, Patrick Creighton, and Ron, the show Hughley, all still up in that row in the press box. Obviously, you know, Clint, Sean, they go do post game. Everybody's kind of moving around doing various things. But we're kind of just sitting there, kind of unloading some of our thoughts and working through it in that moment. And I'm like, CJ was pretty good for a little bit. And I'm like, okay, but no. Like the stats were fine. They weren't even great statistically. But there was some instances that were really bad, including You got it. Like, ball placement specialist, we can't do that. Dom mentioned that earlier. No. We can't do that right now because as much as I can and will blame Nick Caley for some of this play calling that was absolutely maddening in the shadow of your own end zone, or rather the other way, almost scoring the touchdown. That third and goal where you have a double move and Nico Collins is available there, bleep it, bro. You got to hit your man.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be able to hit him there, right? Like, I understand on second down, you doing like a zone read. Also, if that was truly a zone read, CJ, pull the bleep out of the ball, man. The end is crashing in. Pull it, and we have what looks like, you remember when Peyton Manning used to do the boot on the when you're in the goal line, and it's like, oh wow, he ran the football. They were treating CJ Stroud.
Baker Mayfield's not fast.
They were treating CJ Stroud like Peyton Manning on that. I mean, shotgun zone read, right? If you're actually reading that and the edge is crashing in, take that. And of course, if he's not reading that, why the hell are you in shotgun doing a zone replay then? You're not actually going to fool this defense into stopping.
And we can go back to the first field goal when they went up 10-7. He missed Justin Watson badly. And that should have been a touchdown. Remember the play when I think it was a second or third down. I mean, he could have easily scored a touchdown, and he just misfired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he just misfired there. That play counts just as much as the two in the fourth quarter. I mean, you cannot be that accurate. But the question then becomes, how much of this? And this is when we're going to dig in with C.J. Stroud and the mental aspect of it all. How much of this just sort of feeds on itself, like the frustration with not being able to let it rip, the frustration with the offense. He said, we need to be, you know, we need to focus more and not be as frustrated and everything. He was so despondent in the post game. How much of that feeds into the inaccuracy of it, like just lack of confidence?
I don't know, and maybe I'll take some time to think on that. Mm-hmm. And again, I hate to do the thing, we'll get back to it, but we will. But to circle back to the defense versus offense, I actually think it's the offense that's more frustrating for me, even though the defense is annoying because you expected this defense to be the thing that was the solid and that you could count on. And be able to get off the field when you need it, even if they had not had the best game, is just make that play when you absolutely need it and they weren't able to. I'm looking at this and like the things that I was sold a false bill of goods. Now, of course, it's early. Maybe this is overreactionary, but in this moment, I feel like I was sold a false bill of goods. I was told this is a game plan offense, and I'm looking at the run game. I'm like, you didn't give yourself an opportunity to be successful in the run game because you were running into a brick wall.
Yeah.
I'm looking at CJ Stroud have to go through his progressions and maybe be too tethered to it, and it feels like, okay, the whole idea...
But that's what I'm talking about. It feeds into it.
The whole idea of bringing in the system is to free him up, and it feels like a little bit he's been shackled in some ways. And then CJ himself, hey man, where's the dude? Where's the dude that we were promised? Where's the dude that we expect you to be and to have the confidence and walk crotch first? Because right now, we're not seeing that as well. Hey, how about, why are we getting these young talented players if I'm not going to see them have the opportunity
to get the change. Damn football? And we will dig in on that as well.
I think I'm more frustrated by the offense. If you say the defense, I can't be mad at you either. Mm-hmm. That was just an overall frustrating game all the way around, except for the shout out to Frank Ross and his boys on special teams. They holding it down. They look swarmy, don't they?
They gave you every shot, and that should have been a win based on what the special teams did.
Shout out to Jakob Johnson. Shout out to Jalen Noel.
Not a good tight end, but pretty good block kick there.
Yeah. Look,
he got worked a little bit too.
we have more time. We do have more time. All right, you're in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including how do we view what the Astros did last night? Because it was a win, but was it Pyrrhic victory? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about that next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.